Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello there, butt stinks. We're a week into January, so I mean, I think it's about time I talk to an intuitive wellness masterclass giver and yoga teacher who preaches exercise being accessible for all. Yes, please. I'm hoovering with the amazing yogi Donna Noble. First things first, thanks, okay, if you're telling people about this podcast. Keep on with that, if you will, please. One way to do it is, or at least to help more people see and hear about the podcast, is to give it a 5-star review and to subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts from. You can support the podcast with your actual money, if you'd like, and you've got spares. Go to supporter.acast.com/hoovering, and you can give a one-off amount, at maybe like, I don't know, fiver for a couple of coffees. Or you can help me in a more regular way financially by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see all the hoovering related nonsense I will swap in exchange for your hard earned cash from as tiny as £2 a month, including guest recipes and very, very exclusive content. Regular video updates from me at the moment just for the patrons, and you can imagine how slick and professional they are. And they're just for them. Right, it also, last bit of admin, do you want to try Oddbox? It's the fruit and veg box that I get that salvages wonky or oversized or surplus fruit and veg that's perfectly glorious from supermarkets or other places, restaurants or whatever, that either have rejected it or aren't open at the moment. You can get a tenner off your first box. These are just, I think, for the sort of London and surrounding counties, I'm afraid, in the UK for now. You can get a tenner off your first box if you want to use a link in my podcast notes. It's also in my bio on Twitter if you're following at the Hoovering Pod, and it takes a whole tenner off your first box, which makes it only a few quid. So go for that, I reckon. Right, now, let's get in to this lovely, lovely, lovely conversation. Donna is amazing. We met on the Zooms because of the COVIDs. For a late breakfast of pastries and orange juice. Thank you very much for doing this and having breakfast with me.
Yeah, indeed.
You suggested orange juice and croissants, which nobody has ever. And I've been doing the podcast for 3 years now. So that is a touch, actually.
Yeah, yeah, no, cause I love croissants. Because normally, but I run out. Because you know, you'd get the pack of eight. And I should maybe I don't like freezing them because I think they get water in them and they look the same. So I had them as fresh as possible. So I've run out. So I'll have to get to the shops at some stage this week and get some more.
Can't not have croissants in.
I know.
I've got a 5-year-old who is over the moon. It's been a little while since. In fact, we've got pastries out, you know, on walks from takeaway for calves and stuff.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh, God, can I have jam on both sides? Can I have two? I was like, yeah. Oh, God.
This is so Monday good. Morning. I'm glad.
Monday morning, January. Yes.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. No, I'm glad I've been good for something. Yeah. Really quitting your love for croissants.
Totally. And to describe mine, I've twice in the last week been to Waitrose, which is a very posh supermarket for me. And it's a posh supermarket for anyone. If you're thinking Waitrose isn't your posh supermarket, you're the queen.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's a little heads up, they've trust their customers enough to have left their toilets open. And I don't know about you, I'm having to take my kids for my sanity out on lots of outdoor adventures. And there comes a point where he can have a wee in the wild because he's a child, but yeah. I can't do that. we've basically been doing tiny little Waitrose shops.
just to use the toilet, yeah.
Just for a wee.
Yeah.
And Waitrose do a seedy croissant, and I'm a savoury head. Like, I don't love sweet stuff. And I've put a little bit of... And a friend for Christmas... A secret Santa got me this posh cheese.
Oh, very posh.
Yeah, Nettlebed Creamery Bix.
Okay.
It's like a kind of really subtle, creamy brie type cheese.
Yeah, type of cheese. Yeah. I was going to suggest that.
A bit of tomato in there. And it is so nice.
It does look lush. I've got my boring cornflakes, but that's me, you know.
Do you have your cornflakes hot?
Yeah.
Talk me through this. That's
new to me. Yeah, I have mine hot. That's the way I've been brought up, always to have it hot. And then maybe during summer, if I go somewhere in Europe, even then I say, can you warm the milk up? So
How funny.
Yeah.
And then lots of people who have their Weetabix hot, I just have never heard of it with the cornflakes. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, especially now that now it's cold, you know, you want the milk to be warm, you know, you don't want anything cold. So that time of year, it's weird, isn't it, what people do and you don't realise.
Well, this is it. I mean, this is why I love doing this podcast, because, you know, everybody assumes that whatever they grew up with is
the norm.
Does.
Yeah, indeed.
And it turns out, actually, as much as we are all one and all connected, we're really different, actually. Too.
Exactly, you do. And we do like things in different ways as well.
100%. And it's so funny, I test the boundaries of my open-mindedness all the time, in the sense that I'm like, no, I don't, you know, you just because you don't like something a certain way doesn't mean it's a bad way to have it. That might be, you know, it's how people have their thing, that's how people do their thing. And then every now and again something makes me go, oh, no, that's not okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like with me and Marmite, it's like, no, that's not happened. I won't even try it.
Well, it sniffed it once and went, not for me.
No, I think I've sniffed and that's put me off. But it's like, and it's got such a strong odour anyway. But if it's in the vicinity, you'll smell it. So it's like, you'll smell it before you see it. And it's like, no.
Yeah. It's one of those funny things, Marmite, isn't it? Where if you described it objectively, it's a hard sell, isn't it? They've obviously had to go for the love it, hate it thing. Because it's like a sort of tar. It's like a black tar that you eat. It sort of like looks like the stuff that looks like it's bubbling on a road before the road is finished. It smells of like ink and like leather. And it's made of yeast.
The marketing guys had a tough one with that one.
Such a tough one. But I want to talk about all the things you are, because it's amazing. You're a yoga teacher, amongst other things, an intuitive well-being coach, and I want to get into that. A writer, an anti-racism warrior. And you've also, as a yoga teacher, founded Curvesome Yoga.
Yes.
Talk to me, please, about all of this. Because we're talking right at the beginning of January.
Okay.
For anyone listening later. And there are two hashtags on your social media recently that just brought me so much sort of joy and solace.
Yeah.
Yoga has no size. And also health intention 2021, take weight off your mind.
Yeah.
And they're both things that are like, hallelujah, like so refreshing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I want to talk about curves and yoga. And because I think there's probably going to be a lot of people looking, but I don't know if you get this. I think we've probably singing from the same hymn sheet in terms of the toxicity of the diet industry and the enormity of the noise of that right now. And likely whenever we come out, we've just gone at time of talking into lockdown again, but whenever we come out of a lockdown, I've found over the course of this last year that that noise has been January level again and again in the world.
Yeah.
And it's possible to make this joyful echo chamber for yourself by following the right people on social media, by reading, informing yourself, you know, having the right types of therapies, etc. But I still feel like the world at large is full of other noise than that, you know, full of parents giving kids weight loss books for Christmas. That's what the world is actually full of still. So, I mean, there will be a lot of people listening, or a lot of people generally in the world who are about to start, who want to move their body. But for one reason or another, don't feel like they can do that. Either they don't feel like they're in the sort of body that's allowed to do yoga, go to a gym, whatever, be seen moving in public, or their intention is to lose weight.
Yeah.
So there'll be a very negative association with whatever movement it is they then go on to start doing. So I don't know where to start really with my questions. We can just talk generally around it, or I mean, I was going to start with maybe like, can anyone do yoga?
Of course, absolutely. My hashtag is yoga has no size, and that's the hashtag that resonated with you, and that is so true. We're born yogis. We're born yogis, Jess. Have you seen a baby on their back with their big toe in their mouth? That's called happy baby pose, and we do that in yoga.
I love it. So that's a child's pose, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly it. And even in the womb, Jess, we're doing mudras. You know, you see children doing hand variation, a thumb and index finger. Those are mudra signs. So for me, that proves we're born yogi. So absolutely. And unfortunately, it's the imagery that we see around yoga that lets people believe they don't have a yoga body. But absolutely everyone has a yoga body. A yoga body is a myth in itself. But if we have to have one, everyone's got one. If you do yoga and have a body, you're a yoga body. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, perfect. It boils down to that thing, doesn't it? Of I sort of fell in intellectual brain love with a fitness instructor once in a gym, in like a chain gym, who was at the end of a class had said, do you want to know how to get a bikini body? And like, you know, everyone had gone, and I'd gone, oh God. And she went, put a bikini on. And I was
exactly. or even more simply, Jess, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And there's, you know, there's bed yoga, there's chair yoga, there's something for everybody. It's a style of yoga for everybody. It's just finding the style of yoga that resonates with you. And that's why I love the body positive movement. That's why I got into yoga, to disrupt it. For exactly this reason, that people see this typical body of a yogi, someone tall, slim, their leg behind their head in Bali, and they automatically think, I can't do yoga. But that's completely wrong. You know, if you're doing child's pose on a yoga mat, just that's yoga, because you're breathing. The fact you're breathing consciously, that too's yoga. There's so much more to yoga than the asanas, and that's what we're sold, is that imagery. That's why people they have the mindset that they can't do yoga because and have to do something before they even bench on a yoga mat. But we're born to move, Jess, fundamentally. You know, stop a child from moving, and what happens? So we're born to move our bodies, you know?
Everything explodes internally, if not externally, if you stop a child from moving.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're born with, to move. And if we don't move, Jess, we lose the mobility, the flexibility we have. And I'm finding that with myself right now. Because of lockdown, I'm not out as much. So I'm having to constantly work like on my hips to make sure that I you know, it's like WD-40. My hips are like that right now. I need WD-40. And yoga is that for me. Because you don't, it's like, you don't use it, and I repeat it, you lose it. And it is so true. It's a simple statement, but it's true.
It's so, I think it's a funny one as well in lockdown, where, so my favourite type of moving my body is weightlifting. And my gym has gone online, which is amazing, and they've loaned out some equipment and stuff, which is so kind of them and amazing. But there's something, whereas with yoga, it's like, actually, I don't know, you tell me, actually, like, I think there's something about being part of a group when you when you have learned, when you've found a safe, happy, joyful group of people to do your type of movement with. It's really lovely. But you know, my thing requires lots of bits of it require big heavy weights and certain equipment and a type of bouncy floor, whereas yoga actually, it's kind of like running, in the sense that, well, even then, even running, you know, you need an outdoor space. Yoga, you can kind of do anywhere.
Anywhere, absolutely. And with minimal space, you know, you need a yoga mat to do yoga. You can use a towel, you can use a rug, you know, a surface is not hard, ideally. And just do yoga however you want to. I remember when I started yoga back in the late 1990s, I was wearing my tracksuit bottoms. There was no such thing as yoga wear at that point. So I wore what I had for doing other activities, and that was fine, and it wasn't frowned upon. But then suddenly it becomes popular, and then you start having specific clothing that you need to wear. And that's when it becomes, you need this or that before you start yoga. But to do yoga, you can just start where you are right now today. Just wear loose, comfortable clothing. That's the only prerequisite. And to come with an open mind.
I love it so much. What might people gain from starting yoga?
You can gain so much. Yoga just changed my life. You know, I didn't start out and plan to be a yoga teacher. I became ill, and yoga gave me my health, number one. And it helped me to change my career, because it allowed me to see that the life I was leading or living didn't reconcile with what I wanted. I wasn't happy. I had all the things that society told me would make me happy, but I wasn't happy at all. And yoga gave me that insight to let me realize that I wasn't happy. It allowed me to see, really connect my mind to my body and to make those changes. And I've not looked back ever since. But
if you start
a yoga practice,
it's so joyful to hear. And also, as you're talking, I don't know, it makes me, for the first time ever, actually realise, oh God, it's so interesting. I talk a lot about eating. It's obviously a podcast about eating, but intuitive eating.
Yeah.
And actually, as you're talking, it's making me realise for the first time that there's a really glaringly obvious bond between the connection that you can get from movement that you love.
Yeah,
and exactly. Especially like something like yoga, where your breathing connects your body to your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And your soul and all of those things. Yeah. And it's this sort of this connection to how you feel and what's really going on.
Yeah.
That is huge if you're trying to learn how to eat intuitively.
That's exactly.
Like hearing all the noise of your body. Not just being able to hear when it screams.
Exactly. You're listening to your body. But you're listening to your body. You really understand the signals it's giving you. You know, before, like, I maybe have a tummy ache before, Jess, and it'd be like, oh, I ate something that maybe didn't disagreed with me. And it's like, no, that's not that. It's like, what did I do? Who was I around? You know, then I can sort of replay and understand what it is, and I can really listen to my body. Like, if I got a bit of an ache, what did I do? Oh, my handbag, I might have been carrying it the wrong way. Or it could be a sign of stress. And it's so funny, I had a session with my cranial osteopath yesterday, and I said, there's something going on with a part of my body. And he said, oh yeah, I can see. And he went, your right shoulder. And before I even said it, because it was a Zoom call, my shoulder almost like hurt before I even spoke, started to come down. So I began to see. So I had, unconsciously had the tension there. But because I went to laugh, but my unconscious, I didn't, it wasn't a conscious thing. I took the shoulders down because we hold tension. We don't know, especially now in lockdown. We're over a computer, we're hunched, and we have tension in so many ways. And I sometimes used to think, Jess, that I was relaxed, but I grind my teeth and I've discovered it's a sign of stress. So you're doing it in your sleep. So consciously you're aware, but not in my sleep. Sometimes I grind my teeth because I'm stressed. So it manifests itself in any way. Another way that I discovered I'd stress, and I just thought, I used to have a dry cough all the time. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm really healthy. I thought that I, you know, I was able to eliminate that cold that was coming. And then someone said, no, that's your stress, son. I said, what? They said, when you're stressed, your body gives you a sign, and mine was the dry cough. Wow. And the time that I was able to prove that, Jess, I was in Nottingham, I believe it was. I went to a coaching course. I was coming back, and we were running a little bit late, so to run for the train. And so we jogged along. I don't run for anything, but I had to run for this one, because if I missed that train, it would have taken a long time to come to London. And I said to my friend, we can stop. And he goes, no, let's keep running. So we ran, and I got to the station, Jess, and I've coughed for about 15 minutes. No amount of water, nothing stopped it. But when my body returned to normal and relaxed, it went. Yeah. So I was in a stress, and that proved to me. And I don't get that dry cough anymore because I was able then to tune in and relax more. So it eliminated it for me. So it did prove the point that it was a stressor. And that's the thing. And we have this and we don't realize it. We think, oh, it's a bit of a cold. Oh, cold's going around. I think I'm getting that. We just dismiss it. But if we get to the root cause, which yoga can allow us to do, we can eliminate that and lead a less stressed life, you know,
so
without anxiety. Yeah, it is.
I always thought it's so funny that, like, grinding teeth is like a I always thought it's hereditary because my five-year-old does it. And his dad would do it in his sleep, and I'm like, oh god, well, it must just be hereditary. But then just this morning he had his first ever online teaching from his school teacher ever, because he's only just started school in September. So this is the first time we've had to do homeschooling. And then just before we logged on, I was like, right, I'm going to get you a water, I'll get you a pen, and I'll sit with you for it. And he started grinding his teeth then. So I was like, oh, that is you're nervous.
Flipping heck.
Ugh.
But at least you're able to see that and be aware. And that's also what, that's what yoga gives you, Jess, because it allows your mind body to connect, but then you're more aware, like you're aware of what was going on with your son, that you put the two together and realized it's a stressor that he has at this young age. So you can work out why and help to eliminate that, to let you know that there's no need to fear maybe school or whatever's going on. But unconsciously, we sometimes don't even know what we fear, but it comes out in that sort of way.
Yeah, totally. Isn't it funny? Let's talk about why there's, I think I want to talk about why there was and is still such a desperate need for a space for learning, let's say yoga specifically, or any sort of movement, I think, that feels genuinely inclusive. Because I think there's a lot of people who, I don't know, let's say perhaps always been in an athletic looking body, or in any of the ways that people are extra privileged, who would be like, what? That no one can, like, anyone can walk into a yoga class. Anyone can walk into a gym. Yeah. And you're like, I want to talk about that because...
But that's privilege, Jess, because they've never had to feel as though they didn't belong, because the space they're entering maybe is advertising to them. So they fit into what society is telling them is a yoga body or how we should look. So they wouldn't understand that. Because I had that so many times. When I created Curves on Yoga, I got so much pushback. Why? You're creating division, creating a space for women that are curving. It's like, you're so lucky that you can go into a yoga space and not have an issue. But there are women or individuals that want to try yoga, but because of how they look, don't feel it's an option for them. And by doing so, I'm encouraging individuals that are invisible in certain spaces to come into a space where they can feel comfortable, where they won't feel judged, where they can feel safe, where they can really be who they want to be.
Yeah. Oh, it's lovely. All right. I mean, it's a podcast about eating, so we should talk about eating.
Okay.
Quite specifically. Is part of your intuitive well-being coaching to do with eating and mindful, like ideas around people concerned around weight and stuff like that? Because yeah. I have, for context, about 32 years of being on a pointless diet and lots of disordered eating and stuff, and saw the light, had some amazing therapy, still on a journey, probably always will be. But, you know, oh God, that's probably the most succinctly I've told anyone that. I've just got it out of the way. That's where, and that's where the podcast is coming from. And I'm a big fan of, I think, kind of, to be frank, just giving less fucks about eating. Like, I think I spent so much of my life with it being, and I'm still obsessed with food and I love eating, but I love planning what I'm going to eat, but it's not now in a way of like, well, I've had that, so I'm not allowed that, you know. I've let go of all that, but does that come into your intuitive well-being coaching?
It does, because what I believe, and the reason why the body knows what it needs, Jess. You know, when we come into this world, Jess, we are able to communicate in a way that we want food. A baby will come into this world and be screaming, "I want milk," or whatever we want to feed the baby. And conversely, when a baby knows they're full, they'll spit out the milk or the breasts or whatever. And the body knows, but we then start to buy into what society tells us is how we should eat and our upbringing. When I was younger, what I used to do, Jess, and I still kind of do it now, but I didn't have an issue about food. I used to like sweet food a lot. I wouldn't eat anything that wasn't sweet, and I became very clever at hiding that. But I used to have my plate of food, and I used to eat from the center and put it around, leave on the edges, so it didn't look as much, and I still do it now. But they were aware of what I was doing. But what I discovered, Jess, about intuitive eating, and an example of me really identifying the body knew what it wants to do, is when I went to LA and I did my Bikram teacher training course. And I was told, "You're in a hotel, Donna, you're going to be there for 9 weeks. You just have to eat what you can. You don't have time to cook and eat properly." And I was doing two classes a day, Jess, every single day. So I was getting the balance, but I was exercising. But maybe in week 5 or 6, I kept craving Coca-Cola. Don't know why. After my second class in the evening, Jess, I had to go and have like a pint glass of Coca-Cola.
Nice.
And I think that showed me that I was deficient in something. So my body craved that deficiency through the Coke, and I got it and I was fine. And as soon as I left that environment, the need for it went, because I was getting it in the correct way. So that to me shows me intuitively my body knows what it was doing. But it's also like, if you go on a diet, Jess, and the body will do its best to make you survive. So some will go on a diet and the first few days it's like, "Oh yeah, I've lost a few pounds," because the body doesn't know what's going on. But after day, whatever, how many days, is the body starts to know, what's going on with Donna? Is she starving herself? Then it starts to conserve the fat. Then it's like you're not losing the weight anymore. And then you start to slow down, just because like the body's like, you've got no energy to jog around the park, but we then push ourselves. And then the body starts to adapt to what's going on. So we become stressed just because we start thinking about food. So the body's, and then we start thinking about food more. It's not a sign of failure. It's the body thinking, I want Donna to eat. So I wanted to think about food more, so she'll eat.
To get you fed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. To get you fed. Your stomach starts rumbling. These are signs that you're hungry. It's like, I want Donna to know she's hungry. So what can I do? What can I switch on to make her understand this? And the same way, if you have a meal, it's like the senses, you know, are turned on because it wants you to taste more. And conversely, your body will shut down if you're not eating correctly. Like I've had friends that their menstruation cycle stopped because the body's going, wait a minute, Donna's doing something to her body here. She can't deal, her body can't deal with having a child right now. So let me switch off that hormone. Yeah. And then when that's been reversed, Jess, then my friends have gained and said, "Oh, my periods have returned," because the body is healthier and can deal with that. And so that's why I believe that, you know, the body intuitively knows. It's like with me, I love cream eggs, and I haven't seen it this year, but normally Christmas cream eggs come out. They come out early every single year. And I will go and I will buy loads of cream eggs, Jess.
It's really interesting that, I think, hearing your sort of history with finding your connection with your intuition and body and mind connection in terms of eating historically and stuff. I think it is. I think every now and again we get a reminder, don't we, that our body will give us quite a glaring one, like when your bod was like, you need whatever sugars and minerals are in Coke, like at the end of that day of exercise. Yeah. I remember, and often those, we have to let it get quite extreme to be able to hear it, because I think our lives are so busy. And our eating patterns have been, in our society and in lots of Western cultures anyway, so disconnected from us listening to our hunger. You know, we're encouraged to listen to our fullness-ish,
yes,
but less so our hunger.
Yeah.
It's complicated, isn't it? Actually, I found it incredibly hard to hear what my body wants, unless it's screaming. You know, I remember once I got into swimming once. I love swimming. And I got into, a few times I did long swims, you know, for charity, for something to aim towards. And I loved it. But there was one time I was training for one. And after that day, I always brought Lucozade as well as water with me to have on the side, because there was one day I was swimming and I'd stop every certain amount of lengths and have a sip of water. But there was one time I was swimming and I started to taste salt in my mouth, which is apparently like, because you can't feel you're sweating with swimming, sweat's going into the water. That's when your like insulin's packing up. That's apparently when you're like really low on diurolytes or whatever, on salts and minerals.
Yeah.
So I started to bring some Lucozade so I could have a sip of something with a bit of glucose in it, basically, in the middle of a long swim. It's so, but that feels to me like that's like a body's like,
exactly.
To the point where you can hear and also I think acknowledging that it's not always, I think hunger is much more than, I don't know if you'd agree, much more than a physical noise. Yes. I think emotional needs are real needs. I think that's a massive misconception that some people have with intuitive eating. Would you think?
I think so as well, because even like I think you do know, because sometimes you think, why am I irritable, and it's like, oh, I haven't eaten today or something like that, and so there's different ways the body lets us know, but we have to just tap in to know that. It's almost like when you're dehydrated, the fact when you know you're dehydrated, it's at the extreme you are so dehydrated, you've gone beyond that stage, even like sometimes if I'm dehydrated, not so much now, I'd get cramps at night. So I know then I haven't drinking as much water especially if I'm teaching in a hot room. So I've depleted a lot of water.
Yeah. And I think people talk negatively, especially women, but people talk negatively a lot because it's the noise that we're brought up with, that like comfort eating is a bad thing. But it's good to take comfort. Take comfort where you can, especially.
But it's the way in which we're so, it is actually, because, exactly. Okay, but it's all this lockdown body and all this now, they've jumped on something else to beat us with,
Yeah. It's bullshit. So you mentioned cream eggs.
Yeah,
I have to ask, how do you eat your Cadbury's cream egg? Everybody has a special way.
I just literally the top, just bite the top and then get centre out and then eat the rest.
Centre out with your hand, or do you get a spoon out? You made that look
with my tongue and then just bite down with my tongue.
Nice. That's interesting. Yeah. I asked a podcast guest called Rosie Jones, a brilliant comedian, how she eats, if there's anything she eats in a ritualistic way. And she said cream eggs, and her answer took 20 minutes.
Oh, really? No, mine's just, I get it in there as soon as possible. And
she gets a kit off for a start.
Actually,
and gets in bed with it. Yeah.
Really? Oh, my God. I have to listen to that one. Giving me ideas.
It's inspirational.
It is.
We're all inspired by Rosie.
Maybe we should have do a post. How do you eat your cream eggs? And send us, maybe not pictures, maybe pictures.
We don't need pictures of that, Rosie.
Yeah, we don't need,
We'll get deleted off the Instagram.
Instagram jail for something.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious. And then you can be in my podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talk to me about eating growing up for you. Who did the cooking in your house? What was the food like? Were you a fussy eater? Were you? You talked about liking sweet stuff.
Yeah, I was definitely a fussy eater. Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah, definitely fussy. Yeah. Growing up, we lived. It's my mother that did most of the cooking, and it was sort of. And I think we were spoiled in that. There was some West Indian dishes that we would eat and some that we wouldn't. So we had like very conventional English dishes as well. So there was a mix of the two. And I was fussy in that I could maybe hide if I didn't like something, didn't eat it. So I'd definitely try and eat the sweets as much as possible. And I think I was so fussy that I really limited just what I ate. And I even went to Jamaica for a couple of years and I loved the food they had then. There's certain dishes that I did stick to those. My favourite dish is plantain. My grandmother as well would cook, you know, fried plantain. That was, again, it was sweet as well. So it had an element of sweet in there as well. And it was funny because when I started working and what they used to have to do, Jess, I wouldn't eat a lot of dishes. Like they'd order a banquet of food, but I'd only stick to what I knew. So, and they then changed that because what they would do, they'd get me a little bit drunk, Jess, put me beside someone that was incredibly chatty and then introduce all these things on my plate. And because I was a bit inebriated, I'd eat it. And that's how I expanded my palate.
That's
what it did for me.
That's such a funny way of how you got adventurous with food. I got a little bit tipsy and just sort of snuck in new foods.
And that's so true because they could see and they thought, oh, Donna's, you know, it's like we'd go to a Chinese restaurant. Oh, I'll just have some egg fried rice or fresh fried rice and nothing else.
Yeah. And they'd be like, look, have a bit.
And I'm a person as well. Yeah, have a bit. Yeah, exactly. We'll talk. And then, oh, yeah, okay. No, that's rather nice. And they'd tell me like afterwards, like, you know, you ate prawn something or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, I did that. That was many years ago. And it's so funny. And what I always do.
Not any advice you can really give out for people with fussy kids, sadly, is it? Get them a little bit hammered and then sneak it on their plate.
you can hide it. You can try and hide it in something. You know, like if you've got potato, put a few peas in there or something. Hide it. Yeah. Try and disguise it as something else. But no, that was it. But I still do. If I go out and it's a choice between a starter and dessert anytime. That at the time.
Really?
Yeah. Dessert anytime unless it's there are very few starters that would let me forego dessert. I try and have all three, but I'll try and create space.
yeah.
I space for all three. So yeah.
Oh, I've got more friends like you than I know people also like me. I'm the opposite, and like I take a starter over a pud.
Oh, really?
Anytime.
No, pud. Yeah,
but like. It feels like physiological. That doesn't feel like something I've chosen. Yeah. That feels like it's just the type of taste buds I've got. Yeah. Isn't that funny? But I do like sweet things as well.
Indeed, yeah.
A friend, local friend, made recently and gave us a little box of them, these Mars bar fridge cakes. I don't know if you've ever had them before.
I've not heard of those. Yeah.
It's the stuff of dreams. You make them without any baking. You just sort of, you melt 12 Mars bars with some golden syrup and butter and Rice Krispies. And then you melt more chocolate on top. And then you put it in the fridge overnight. And then you slice it up. And oh my God. We cut it up and we drove it round and gave it out to some local friends.
Yeah.
Oh, it was... It was, I can't stop thinking about it ever since I ate it. So I'm not into sweet things, is my point. I'm not into sweet things.
Yeah, it depends on what it is as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something like that, I'll be like, I'm dropping everything. Yeah. I've got plans for today. Yeah,
exactly. Totally. And I suppose I'm the same when, if there's certain restaurants I go to and I love their starter, then I'll have that. And, you know, because they have like a planting starter, I might have that, or if they've got like a saltfish fritter, then I'd have a little, you know, things like that. So, yeah, so
I've never tried a saltfish fritter.
No, it's lovely. My mum, I need her to show me how to cook it or do it because I love it so much. One of my favorites from childhood, I love it. And
what does it taste like?
So you've got the batter, so it's really nice and crispy. You've got the saltfish, so it's that slightly, and it depends on the seasoning they put in, but it's really nice. I love it. I just absolutely
is it really salty?
No, it's not, because I think because what we do, they soak the saltfish overnight to get rid of some of the salt.
To preserve, so it's preserved in salt.
Yeah, so you wouldn't.
I've seen it in the shops.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, okay. That needs to get tried, doesn't it?
Because they soak it to soften it, but also it gets rid of some of the surplus salt, so it's not too salty, yeah. And then you've got the batter, which is nice. So I need to get my mum to shoot. I'm going to show you one day, because every once in a while she'll take a picture of me and do some. And but I need to really know how to do it myself, actually. That's one of the things I should maybe do in this lockdown, is I didn't really get into food cooking so much, and maybe now I should try and do a bit more.
I got too into it, Donna, if it makes you feel any better. I got too into it to the point where I bored myself. And then I had to rebel. I cooked so much for the first month of lockdown one that it sort of broke me. And then I was like, I'll just have a super noodles and takeaways for a week. Suddenly the idea of cooking made me furious. Yeah, so everything in moderation.
Indeed. I got friends, because I think I was going to try and go vegan, but I haven't quite got there yet. I'm pretty much vegetarian, but not vegan. I thought I've tried, but we're 5 days into January, so I think I'm a bit lost now.
But yeah, well, I don't know. What do you call it if you don't do the whole of Veganuary? Just call it Veganuary and stop there.
Late or something, No, but then my body doesn't want to. If it was meant to, that's the thing about being intuitive. I listen to my body. My body's not maybe ready for it. And that's how I go with the flow, so to speak. My body will let me know when I'm ready for it, and I'll embrace it in the way that it should do. So
also it's about going, well, I might not be ready for it, I think. Exactly. I flirt with veganism. I have lots of vegan meals.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing about Veganuary is I'm down with it because of the environmental reasons that veganism is extraordinary. But there'll be a lot of people doing it to lose weight, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
It just makes me sad, because it's like, well, you're going to do, your body's going to do that thing where it gets a shock, it loses weight, and then naturally you realise it's not a sustainable way to live, or it starts making you sad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, this is a very silly question.
Okay.
There's no other option. Would you eat a person?
No. No.
What if someone had like cooked the person beautifully? No, you're not doing it. She's shaking her head.
No, especially if I know them. No. I think my body would reject it. I listen to my body very well, and my body's like saying no, and my head's like shaking. So I'm
sometimes just asking the question makes me like shudder. Fun though, fun to ask.
What's my personality, Jess? After this,
what's the weirdest thing you ever What's the weirdest thing?
The weirdest thing I've ever tasted. Because I'm quite fussy still. I think maybe snail is as far as I've gone.
That's pretty weird. Yeah. Were you in France or somewhere where that's...
In France. I think I took a tiny little morsel, so I wouldn't even say, but I did kind of... that's it.
Literally, like, I've done it, licked it and gone, I've done it, I've tasted it.
That's it, exactly. Yeah, that's it, I've tasted it, that's it, yeah.
I love
what about
it.
You, right. Jess?
The weirdest thing I've ever eaten is sheep's brains.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was in China travelling.
Yeah.
And I was in my early 20s and I was with a friend. We're both from the West Country on the southwest of England, and we both love potatoes. We'd been travelling across Russia and China for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and we'd not had a potato for months, for the only time in our lives. And we were in an amazing city called Xi'an, and this street food vendor had this massive wok with what looked like fried potato in it, little cubes of fried potato. And it smelled amazing. We were like, well, maybe they're being fried in some kind of a, you know, delicious animal fat. And we went and bought a portion of that, and it turned out, as soon as it was in your mouth, you realised that's not potato. It was like a jelly, and it sort of dissolved.
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh shit. Oh. And then we worked out what it was, yeah.
And did you continue eating it, Jess? Did you give up, or did you finish it?
No, we gave up. Okay, that sheep gave its brain up for nothing.
And Poor sheep.
Yeah, it tasted like it's probably quite a clever one and everything. I can't remember what it tasted like. I shut it out in that way that you do with traumas.
So you wouldn't be good on I'm a Celebrity then. I'm a Celebrity. You and I wouldn't be very good at that.
Dog shit. The pair of us would be the worst bookings on that.
Yeah, I know. They wouldn't get any food.
Even when they're like... Yeah, the no one, everyone had to starve. And that's literally, we spend our whole career, Donna, shouting to the world, don't starve yourself. And then we'd go on telly, refuse to eat the eyeball, or and we'd starve all of our teammates. The irony.
Don't book us. If you're listening, anyone, don't book us.
You can book us, but we'll make it good telly.
Yeah, we would actually. You would actually. Yeah, we'd be, and they'd vote us to go and do the trials all the time when we come back. Like, sorry guys, no.
I can't do it again.
But like, Jess, let's give it a go. And like, now.
Come on. delicious. The sky gets ill and goes a really weird colour, like the colour of a green highlighter pen. It's a nightmare. Photosynthesis stops, everyone's got a permanent headache, no one knows whether it's day or night, or what the season is. Outdoor photos look terrible all the time. It's carnage. They've agreed to cure the sky, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Donna, swim through 90 miles of tomato soup. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Your reward in reality is that you go down in history as the woman who saved humanity from the scary neon green sky. But your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you're the happiest and the hungriest it's possible to be, is the fantasy feast of your dreams. So it's the opposite of a last meal in the sense that you're so full of joy and you're hungry. I would love to know if there was nothing, you know, none of this has to be possible. I don't really care about ethics, to be honest, certainly not healthiness nutritionally or anything like that. I just would like to know what the absolute feast of your dreams would be. What would you eat? What would you drink? And if anything was possible, you can bring back people from the dead, you can have celebrities, or you can have people close to you. Who would be there? And if there's a where would you have this feast?
Okay. So it would be the best champagne, magnums of champagne would be my drink, first of all. And it would just be a mix of, like, the best crab, the best prawns, chicken, better than anything, like planting with the galore. There'd be planting, oh my God. And there's a Jamaican thing called grater cake, which is coconut and it's dyed. I'd have that as well, and drops. Not caviar not for me, but for others. But anything anyone desired will be there. Anything that's really expensive will be there, just for that dish. For what I've gone through, tomatoes, soup, or whatever. And I'd bring my grandmother back from the dead. I'd have my family there, and I'd have their Martin Luther King
Yes!
Yes, and I'd have, who else would I have there? I'd have James Dean there as well. Marilyn Monroe would be there as well. And people that in everyday life, I'd have Oprah there as well. I could, you know, talk to Oprah. And Helen DeGeneres, I'd like to have that. Ellen, I'd love her there as well. And I think that's it. And then
yes.
And then I'd bring my inner child back as well. I'd bring my inner child back too.
Oh, that inner child's going to be the yeah. one who's invited them before.
Yeah, no, I'm going to bring my
this
inner child back.
This is nice.
Yeah, so my inner child can see you're going to be okay.
Oh,
don't worry about
yes.
all. Yeah, you're going to be okay.
If my therapist secretly listens to this podcast, which I hope she doesn't because it's very unprofessional, I hope she listens to that bit, Donna. She'll really like that bit about the inner child.
Yeah, I'll bring my inner child back. Just yeah. you know, some of the angst that maybe I went through to say, you know what, all that self-doubt, you know, just be who you are. Don't worry, because whatever you think you should be, you're not going to be that. It's going to completely flip the script and you're going to be okay.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a guest on this silly podcast.
No, thank you. I actually one of the best ones ever. I don't have to take myself seriously. I love the questions. I love how you made me feel relaxed.
Oh.
And the way it is all can happen, it was meant to be. And I'm happy that I
said so yes. lovely. Thank you so much.
Yum in my tongue.
What a glorious and inspiring and calming and positive guest Donna was. I love her and I love her work, and I know you will too. If you're not already aware of it, get on it. She's on Instagram at Donna Noble Yoga, and she also created Curvesome Yoga, which is at Curvesome Yoga. Curve, C-U-R-V-E, some, S-O-M-E, yoga. You know how to spell yoga, all in a row. And subscribe to her YouTube channel as well. Why not? I just did. For proper information about everything she's up to, including how to get taught yoga by her and all the other things she's doing, all the places she's speaking, etc., 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 just tap up her website. It is thenobleartofyoga.co.uk. Links to everything I've just said there, and of course everything interesting that we mentioned throughout the podcast, are as ever in the podcast notes. If you want to try Oddbox, you can get 10 off your first box by using a link that's in my podcast notes or in my bio on Twitter. Make sure you're following at The Hoovering Pod on there. Follow at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram as well, actually. Why not? I'm trying to eat on it as regularly as possible. Feel free to support the podcast with lovely reviews, recommendations, or with cold, hard, actual cash money, either on Acast Supporter or on Patreon. Links as ever in the podcast notes for those things too. Follow me. I'm on social media, at Jessica Fosterkin, usually whinging about my child and homeschooling at the moment. Anything longer than a tweet to send me, you can email me through my website, and that's also where I've listed my rescheduled, currently looking pretty optimistic, tour dates. But some of them should happen, some of them aren't until April. Go to jessicafosterkew.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.